Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, family. Again, I want to welcome everybody to another episode of The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Tonight is going to be unlike any other. We're going to talk about an intriguing topic. I want to say intriguing because this is something that it's a little bit different than what we normally talk about, I think, but it's necessary that we talk about it. We're going to talk about the subject of vulnerability. So you all know, if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, if this is your first time, I want to welcome you all to the call and to the show. If you've been a repeat guest, welcome. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride, because we're going to take a journey tonight. I've got a couple of guests that are joining me tonight, co-host this event with me, and I am delighted as well as excited that they have the time to make this commitment tonight. But if you're listening in by airway or whatever, we've got a couple housekeeping rules, and it's real simple. We always say that it's not about us, but it begins, and it's not about you. We can agree to disagree when you call in tonight. Share your thought, your comment, your opinion. Well, we have one simple rule. Is that we can challenge the message, but we don't attack the messenger. That's it. We can challenge the message, but we don't attack the messenger. And that means that we always try to listen to both sides, because who's to say your side is right or there's a wrong? And so no one's really keeping score. Well, this show has really been designed to help people live better, love deeper, and laugh more. At the end of the day, when you are better, we are better. So what does that mean? That means better fathers, better husbands, better mothers, daughters, sisters, aunts, the whole nine. It's about helping the family to build. And so tonight we're going to start talking about a specific topic on vulnerability and how vulnerable is too vulnerable. Well, as I mentioned, I've got a couple co-hosts that will be joining me at different times, but I'm joined tonight by a good brother and friend from my church at the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden. And so I want to let Nate say hello. Nate, say hello to the family, brother.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? My name is Nathaniel Yates, and it's an honor to be here speaking with you tonight.
Hey, Nate, this is a topic that I told you just the other day I wanted you to get in on, because I think this is something that we really don't talk a lot about. It's kind of implied. And so, you know, when you think about vulnerability, what is vulnerability? When you hear that, what does that mean to you?
So when I hear the term vulnerability, I think about being free to be who I am and unafraid of what that may be, and the perspective that others may have of me. So am I open enough to express who I am, go into challenges knowing that I may not get the results I desire, and am I open to that?
Well, I think that's certainly a great definition, and I think we can stop the show now and end it on that note. No, that's probably one of the best summaries of really what vulnerability is. And so I took the liberty just to kind of find out, well, what is vulnerability? When you look at the word vulnerable, you know, what's said behind that, so that we can kind of get a working definition. You all know me at the show. I always believe that we need to kind of set a little bit of boundaries and a framework for the work that we want to uncover tonight, and uncanvas, I should say. So when you look at vulnerable, the word vulnerable, vulnerability, it means that it's easy to hurt or to harm mentally, emotionally. It means also open to attack, harm, or damage. Then when you look at the synonym, this is the piece right here that when we talk about vulnerability, the synonyms for that and the definitions alone: accessible, you know, defenseless, exposed, liable, naked, on the line, on the spot, out on a limb, ready, sensitive, sitting duck, sucker, susceptible, excuse me, tender, thin skin, unguarded, unprotected, unsafe, weak, and wide open. Wow. Oh, Nate, when you think about all the different synonyms that I just mentioned, none of those really sound good when you think about this whole thing about vulnerability. So how do we take all of that we just said, all of those things that are attached to the definition and synonyms of vulnerability, and how do we work that thing called vulnerability in the relationship?
See, when you listen to the synonyms, and as I heard you say them, I was thinking to myself, wow, it took a dark tone when you listen to how we tend to view vulnerability. But in relationships, the issue is it seems to stem from a sense of insecurity. So when we look at it and you notice we start off vulnerable and we're saying, there's no guarantees in it, we like to be in control. So when we look at relationships, we tend to go in and we're not vulnerable in it. And it can cause a major issue because we kind of hide who we are for the fear that we may get rejected. We see it as we might end up being a scapegoat, or we might end up being the loser or the sucker or taken advantage of, because we're trying to control the situation by framing a picture of ourselves that may not be the reality. So that extends throughout our relationship. And then we wonder why we get to the point of when we talk marriage, why we walk into the state of marriage and then we say, oh, we don't know who you are. And it's because we spent so much time trying to hide those things that we think you may reject because of those, the way we view it. We view it, you know, you hear the phrase, good guy finished last. So what happens is mm-hmm. the good guy tries to frame themselves in something else. Go ahead.
No, absolutely. You're right. Keep going. Good guys frame themselves. You know, good guys finish last, as you were saying. Finish your statements.
Yeah, so because we use that and we precipitate that message that says good guys finish last, you see guys try to put on an image that says I can't be harmed, I can't be vulnerable, I can't open myself up to my girl, or nowadays they use the term thirsty. So now if I show who I am and my genuine interest and that, yes, I have flaws and insecurities, but that's the reason why I haven't helped mate. We tend to hide those insecurities, and what it does is it actually shows that there is an insecurity of who we really are. So
yeah,
when I hear
right.
that, go ahead.
No, I think you're right. I think that we do a good job of putting on a veneer, but really getting to the core of who we are, I think we kind of get lost in who we profess that we want to be, so much to the point where we aren't being true to ourselves.
I 100% agree. It gets to the point where, you know, the slogan, you fake it till you make it. Well, in relationships or in this category, it tends to look as though you fake it so long, you forget who you are. So you become the image you precipitate, but you can only hold it so long. So whether it's a guy or whether it's a girl, you're pretending you like certain things. You're pretending that you are a certain thing. But at a certain point, when you stop pretending, now the other person gets to see who you are, and maybe they don't like it now because they feel they've been lied to. But the reason you've been lying is because you were afraid that if you were honest with them and yourself, that you may be rejected. And with that, I would say that it actually causes more of a burden, because what you don't know or may not realize is that if you were open to who you were, then the person that's meant for you would be able to see you. But we spend so much time trying to hide who we are, so we end up with someone that was never meant to be with us anyway, or the person that was looking at us believing that we would make, we would be the pair, maybe I am the significant other for you, I see what you thought I wanted as opposed to who you were, and what you think I want is not what I want at all. And then for you, you become restless because it's exhausting trying to pretend to be something you're not. So you walk around and you have your own insecurities, and you're still dealing with the insecurities even as you're trying to show the world something else. You're walking through life putting on a front, and yet the insecurity that led to the front, you're still dealing with it, and now you're dealing with it alone. So then now we're in a relationship, and you need everyone to see a certain thing about you. You need everybody to acknowledge the thing about you, and the reason you did that is so that they would like you, but the reality of it is they never really get to know you because you're afraid to be vulnerable for fear that they might just reject who you really are. So,
well, isn't that true? So what are your thoughts?
Go ahead.
So I wanted to say before you make that next thought here, that's a burning thought process, and we want to, you know, let you get back to that. With a question or comment from a caller, if you want to call in, the number to do so is 619-924-0869. What are you thinking about what Nate has said thus far? Nate, go ahead and take it away.
Yeah, so I look at it, and I notice that we have this same systemic problem that just continues to precipitate itself in not just relationships, but especially in relationships, from the time we meet someone to the time we look for marriage, and even into our marriages. You'll have a situation where the individual is going out on a date. And what I like to see, call it, is you go on a date, but you really don't go yourself when you're not vulnerable or when you feel self-conscious about who you are. You send your representative. So the best version of you that you think that person likes, you've done your research on the other individual. You say they like sports, so I'm going to like sports today. But if they ask you about any specific detail of the sport, you really don't know. But you think it's what they want, so you're giving them what they want. But what they may actually need is the truthful, honest version that you are. So we have a situation now that you began the relationship on what is essentially a lie because you're afraid that the truth may be painful for you, or you go half-heartedly into the the beginning or even the middle of the relationship. You step in and you say, well, I'll step this far in, and if it doesn't look like you're going to respond the way I want you to, I'm going to hop out and show you something different until I get a sense that you like that. But the that that they're looking at is not you. And the problem with that becomes, even if you get into the stage of marriage where you're now in the house with your spouse or your husband or your wife, you're sitting in a situation where you never feel fully comfortable. You never feel fully vulnerable. You don't want to share your complete thoughts. You don't want to expose your innermost places to that individual because they really don't know that there is a place beyond what they've seen. So we end up struggling with ourselves. So now you have someone and yet you still feel alone. That's the downfall of not in relationships, of not being able to be honest with yourself and vulnerable to the point that you say, I'm going to be comfortable in my skin and who I am, so that I can be me, and if I'm not what you're looking for, then so be it, but I can be honest enough that when I am in a relationship with the person that is for me or that I believe is for me, that they are accepting, loving, and truly knowing who I am. And I would call that going all in. If you're not willing to go all in a relationship and be vulnerable, I find that the relationship won't have much lifespan to it because you would have walked in, and the person never really agreed to you. They agreed to the facade that you've put in front of you. It's kind of like going into a store, and they pick the best clothes, and they put them together in the perfect size on the mannequin, but then when you're shopping around, you can't find it or make it look the way you saw it looking when you want it in your size. Well, they put it that way to draw you in, and it's the same thing we do. We throw out that perfect image that the other person, what we think is appealing to the other person, but over the course of time, we find ourselves frustrated, and I believe that happens a lot in relationships, and I think at times it breaks down the communication barriers, because I've been married now for 7 years, been with the same woman for 14 years, and one of the things that we had to work through was that when we first met, I started off, I was one way, I was much younger, I was into different things, and so was she. But as we grew and as we changed, if we weren't able to communicate, what would have happened was, imagine if we weren't vulnerable at some point. We would have become so far apart from each other, there would have been no way for us to fix that. You there?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm right here with you, brother. I'm still riding over here in the passenger seat. You got it.
All right.
For those that are out there that are listening, we want to hear your comments as well. This is a topic that's hot. You can hear Nate's passion, his conviction on the subject matter, and it makes absolutely 100%. I'm co-signing what he said thus far. I think that this is a topic, though, that we can't ignore, because the question in there also raises, Nate, that I want to throw with the next question is, is vulnerability a thing just for women, or is it a thing for men? And from a male perspective, okay, think about it this way. You know, I shared the TED Talk with you. For many of you who have, there was a TED Talk that was done by Brené Brown back in 2010, June of 2010. You can see part one and part two that she did out there. She talked about this whole thing as her research led her to discuss, as it evolved for her, about vulnerability. And what she said in part two, let me skip just part two, she had never really introduced this thing, her research, to men. Most of her research was just strictly to women. And one day she ran into a man who purchased her books for him and his wife and three daughters, and he said to her, hey, you know, so what do you think about, you know, vulnerability, I guess, with men? And she says, well, I really never interviewed men. And he says, wow, how convenient. And she says, I'm sorry? So how convenient, because, you know, to a man, it's not the coaches and, you know, the guys in the locker room who he's afraid to be vulnerable with. It's the woman in his house. Because the woman and his daughters, he said, those are the ones that don't want to see him fall and that he doesn't want to fall in front of. So how do we address the subject for any man that's listening out there, or any woman who may be listening and understanding this thing, that it's not necessarily the pressure that he put on himself. He's saying this is not the self-induced pressure. This is a societal pressure that's put on me as the man to be able to be all these things, but yet be so strong within and be yet so secure, but I can't be vulnerable. So am I, in the words of Shakespeare, Nate, and to thine own self be true, am I truly being true if I can't even take off my cape when I come home. Go ahead and talk about that.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I don't want to really frame it as a who's more or less vulnerable. What I will say is from a male perspective, I feel like we've kind of taught our young ladies, and I've made the mistake of doing it. I have a son and a daughter. Baby, it's okay to cry. Come see daddy when it's my daughter. You're beautiful. You are who God says you are. Or down that road, when I look at my son, I have to fight the urge that is our culture that says, boy, you don't cry. Or, no, this isn't who, no, you stand up. Yes, you hurt yourself, but get up and keep walking. So when I hear the gentleman's testimony, I think down that same road when it comes to relationships. What we men tend to do is we put on this armor of Superman for everybody else. We're going to go out here and we're going to make things happen, and we can never be broken, and our feelings can never be shattered, and we can never feel alone, even when at times we are feeling that way. And then when we come home, we want to be that hero that our culture has told us we have to be. So even though, yes, we went out into our world and we went out into our jobs and we functioned that way to be successful, what we haven't learned to do is to take the cape off when we come home. And by doing that, we kill any ability for us to rejuvenate or any ability for our spouse or the person we're in a relationship with to help build us back up, because they don't even know we need it. So in my house, I had this situation where I would try to carry the load so heavy that my wife didn't realize when I was drained. So when I would come home and she would begin to lay out what she needed from me, I would just jump on it. But what was happening is over time, my tank was getting empty, which makes me more frustrated. But I can't let her know that, because that would mean that even I am not Superman. When I would feel sad, I wouldn't tell her I was feeling sad. If things would hurt my feelings, it would say, you know, we're taught, you know, guys don't have those kind of feelings. You should be able to stand up and take it. But the reality of it is most of the men I know at some point or another will experience that drop that says, I really don't feel as adequate as I put on. When I go to my job, I face the burden of whether it's a bias or a prejudice. Or maybe there's an opportunity that I believe I should have got, but for whatever reason, I didn't get it. But when I come home, I still need to be the rock star. Instead of being able to come home and say, baby, I feel like maybe this opportunity should have gone my way, and I feel some kind of way about it. Or when something gets said that's hurtful to me, instead of saying, you know, that really hurt my feelings, we kind of snap off. And what happens in the relationship that I've seen a lot of times is the guys become aggressive and combative. And they aim it at the wrong people. So they either engage in the wrong way at home, or they start to remove themselves mentally and emotionally from home, and now they're still walking around alone, which is no different than on the other side. If in that case, so when I hear his response, I think he's absolutely right. Most men aren't taught to be vulnerable. And because of that, we miss out on some other key aspects of relationships. We miss out on the things like intimacy or exposing ourselves to our wife because we're afraid that anyone that gets too close to us potentially can hurt us. The reality of it is that's where the vulnerability lies, because it tails into the trust. If I can be vulnerable with you, then I can trust you. And if I can trust you, I can be completely real with you, which means when I'm going through, you can actually help me. But we spend a lot of our time because we're afraid of that vulnerability, or because we've been taught, you know, that's a bad word. You listed off a host of synonyms earlier when we began the show, and all of them sound, they gave this negative connotation. And it's funny because I can envision in my mind what a guy is thinking when he hears a sucker or, you know, you're finishing last. No man wants to finish last. The problem is we take it into our home, and now we have to prove ourselves by dominating our house. Because we can't be vulnerable. Or we have to, in the relationship, we can't take constructive advice that would help us from our significant other because we see it as a challenge, because their advice or their criticism, if we take it that way, in our mind, is them saying what we believe others have already said and that we're inadequate. But if we were more open and more honest with ourselves to say, you know, there's some areas that I'm just not there. Honey, I need this from you to help me. I hurt in these places. These things have occurred in my life. And whether you are going to like it or not, I need to be able to express it. It would lead to a much healthier relationship, not just for the man, but for the woman or, you know, that significant other that they're dating or married to, in trying to work with them. Because a lot of us, you know, we do this thing in relationships where we have the expectation in our mind that you're going to be able to read our minds and meet that expectation without me ever saying it. So now I come home, not to say that I do this now, but just put me in the position. I come home and I expect my wife to be able to meet my needs, but I'm afraid that if I tell her I have the need, that she may not meet it. And then I get mad when she doesn't meet what I never expressed. And this is what we do in our relationships. So we hide who we are. Men are walking around every day pretending as though nothing fazes them, as though nothing hurts them, as though nothing that's going on bothers them. And yet the reaction to it is evident. The wife of so many years gets to the point where they can't even recognize them. They're scared to approach them. So now the wife doesn't feel safe. So now she doesn't want to feel vulnerable. And we wonder why our relationships begin to crumble. And so when I
played
the
organ on that.
But I absolutely agree with that. I believe that we need to stop getting to a place where we're teaching you can't be vulnerable, you can't be open, you can't be honest, because how can two people ever come together successfully if we're operating from a place of I don't need you, or I don't trust that if I express my need for you, that you'll meet that need? And not to go too deep, but the reality of it is, if we knew who we were, and we knew where our faith lies, then when we were standing there and we're wondering whether we can trust, I can trust that God's got me, and I can trust that the woman he's given me is the woman that is my helpmate. How can she help me if she doesn't know I need it? And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure I do, but I'll leave it to you to say that whether you're the male or the female in the relationship, at some point you know you need some help. At some point you know you may have felt frustrated. At some point you know that when you get tired of being what everyone else thinks that you're supposed to be, but you know you're not, that it would be a great thing to be able to go to the person you're in a relationship with and tell them and express to them who you really are, trusting and believing that they will accept who you are. It's so much easier if they knew who you were from the beginning than you to wait 5 years pretending that you liked everything about what they were doing. And then and midway through the road, you say, oh, guess what? I didn't like any of that. I was pretending for your sake.
And that's what we have. You know, Nate, you're on fire, brother. I can just let you have the mic for the rest of the show. I mean, at the end of the day, everything what you said is factual, and I think that I support and endorse it. Now, I think what we have, when we think about this whole thing of vulnerability, though, what we have, you talked about a number of things, you know, the man coming home and, you know, trying to still be the man of his castle as he goes to work. He struggles, you know, at times where, you know, he thinks or feels as though there was an opportunity that he missed out on. Yet it's a delicate balance. In a sense, you'd also talk about the man who comes home, he kind of implodes. He suffers in silence. Now, it's not necessarily just for the listeners out there. We weren't just talking about men. We were talking about relationships as a whole, but my specific question or direction I took it in were to ask the question, are men more vulnerable than women? And I love what Nate has said. It's not yay or nay or one lesser than the other. At the end of the day, it's really about, I mean, he answered it from the male perspective of the struggle within. And I think that's so critical that we have to understand. He gave insight and direction and reflection as well, so that once somebody that's listening, somebody who's single would say, hey, I'm waiting on my man. I'm waiting on God to send me the man of my dreams, the man that he has for me. And so what you need to hear is that the man won't embrace you if he can't feel safe with you. Ultimately, vulnerability deals with the level of safety that a person, yet a man or a woman, feel when they're with the other person. But here's the thing. What we want to get to is healthy relationships. This show is all about helping people live better, love deeper, and laugh more. And so in order to do that, we have to understand that our relationships must be man and woman, husband and wife. Let's just clarify that. Interdependent. Mm-hmm. Not codependent, not dependent at all, that they must be interdependent. That means that, you know, he has what you need, you have what he needs, but you also are linked to the man above, and that is Christ.
Absolutely.
And so without that element in here, and so we have to kind of throw that into this, because when we look at the big picture here, and when we think about all the different acronyms that, you know, and synonyms that I had already used to define this whole thing about vulnerability, wasn't anything good that came out of that. So what we have to do is learn how to shift our perspective a little bit. Now, we've got to learn how to work together, and that it's okay if, you know, and this is the thing. the best thing a woman can say to a man, back me up on this, Nate, is, baby, I got you. Okay? That means
absolutely.
That when he's going through a crisis mode, when he's dealing with conflict on his job, when he's dealing with uncertainty in a business decision or whatever, just to say, baby, I got you. And here's the other thing. She can say, I respect you. You are still the man of God. You speak into his spirit. See, what we have to do is don't feed his ego. It's big enough. You've got to learn to speak to his spirit. And vice versa, man, you've got to learn how to speak to her spirit as well with the words of affirmation, the words of encouragement, the words of support. You know, we know that the Gary Chapman has the love languages, but you've got to find a love language. And just because you use the one love language doesn't mean it's going to be the one that's going to stick all the time. And so you can't always use the, you know, my buddy Ed would always say, everything doesn't call for a hammer. And so to the fellas, you got to understand that some things call for a level of sensitivity and greater understanding. That means that, you know, as Nate had said somewhat, and I'll sum it up with a scriptural perspective of it, you have to learn how to dwell together in knowledge and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that is really important in order to do that. You can't hit everything with a hammer, fellas, and think that, hey, that's going to work for her today. You can't, and ladies, vice versa, you can't always come at him straight talk, no chaser either. Because just because he may look like he's alpha doesn't mean he doesn't have any beta in him. Okay? And so, yeah, he may be alpha from the external. We did that before. Well, that was a good show too, Nate. The topic, I digress for just a second, that was kind of a beta male lead an alpha female. Oh, that was a good one. But nonetheless, y'all have to go to the archives to pick up that show. That was last year sometime. Check it out, Real Talk with ChrisRichardson.com on that. But it's essential that we learn how to dwell together, and I think in order to do that, we cannot do it alone. You know, you may find yourself be by yourself, but you're not alone. That means that God is, once you have a rightful relationship with God and that he comes to be the Lord of your life, now he is Lord of your life and must be Lord of your priorities. And so what that means, yes, he gave you, you were created in his likeness and you were formed. So that means, okay, you're going to have emotions. You're going to have emotions and you're going to have thoughts, but you've got to learn how to seize and capture the thoughts. And in order to do that, we've got to seize them and capture them with principles that work and, you know, that reject the thought process that comes to mind. See, because we know that already vulnerability is susceptibility. It's tenderness. You know what I mean? That ain't nothing good.
Mm-hmm.
You take if you a deer, okay? If you see a deer runs from any and everything because it's susceptible to its prey. And so, you know, if you took a lion out there in a deer, then ultimately the lion's going to be in a position of strength because the lion is fearless to nothing. But I tell you what, though, you take that same lion and you put that lion amongst a pack of lions, alpha lions, then you'll see some susceptibility and some, and you'll see things change because as the lion even gets older, it encounters lions that are from the nomad that are trying to always take its territory, and so there even then that lion knows that in order for me to be on my A game, I got to have my best day because the day that he's not. Now, so put that in perspective, Nate. What I'm essentially saying is that what we have to do is that this ain't lions, tigers, and bears on the wall. This is not. This is real people that we have to understand that if I'm going to dwell with my wife, if I'm going to dwell with my husband, I really have to understand the signs. I've got to pay attention to the things that I'm seeing that make them susceptible to some of the distractions from the outside or some of the things that may be going on in their jobs. People can't handle pressure all day long. You know what I'm saying? Even a pipe, ultimately, that's designed – the pipe that's designed in your house, at some point, if the temperature gets to the either too extreme, too cold, and then it's too hot, the pipe's going to crack under pressure. All I'm saying is that don't put too much pressure on your partner, man and or woman, believing that, and don't make them your God either. Because they can't they can't handle the pressure of everything that you've got going on in your life when you're feeling vulnerable, yet you can't come out and attack them. So,
you know,
vulnerability.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Nate.
No, I was glad you went to that passage because when you mentioned dwell with understanding, it covers this topic so greatly. I was over here burning when I heard you say it because you can't dwell in understanding with someone you don't understand, which places an ownership not only on us, like you said, putting our trust in God, but even with each other. If I, as the man in my home, don't seek to understand the woman in my home, and at the same time she doesn't feel vulnerable enough to show me who she is, then I can't fulfill it. I was putting it in the perspective of the relationship. It requires both, and yet both having faith in Christ. Understanding, if you want the healthiness of it, you're going to need that. But I was glad when you went to that specific scripture, because to dwell with understanding, I'm trying to live with what I know about you. And how do I do that if I don't know you?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I do that if you don't allow me to know you? You know, sometimes when we don't want to be vulnerable, going to what you were speaking to, we tend to close the door that was already open. So the person, as they get closer, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but as someone's getting closer to you and you start to feel like, wait, this could be it, and the anticipation rises, you start closing doors out of fear. You start backing away. You were vulnerable. I mean, you were open. Some of you, because we started off saying, we start off not being vulnerable in the beginning. But some of us, it hits us when it starts to get real. And we say, wait a minute, they get too close, they might hurt me. But the reason we got to where we were was because you weren't functioning that way, and then you start closing doors that were never meant to be closed. Now, I'm not talking about, the stuff that's to wait for marriage. I'm talking about who you are. I'm talking about, yesterday you could have candid conversations of how you felt about things. You could tell them, I'm struggling in these areas, or I love these things, or I don't like that. And now you're all of a sudden, when it starts to get real, you're now putting up fences and gates to try to keep your heart from being hurt. But in the meantime, you've built a wall around your heart that now can't be mended, and the person on the other side can't dwell with understanding of it. So I just wanted to throw that in there. I know you were on a roll, so go ahead, Chris. I just wanted to throw that in there when I heard you, because it hit me in that line of thought that sometimes we got to recognize that in order for me to dwell with understanding with you, I have to pursue you, but you also need to be accessible.
Absolutely. And see, here's the thing. We got to understand that in relationships, we have to set boundaries. We've got to be clear with our expectations, as Nate mentioned earlier, about the whole expectation piece. But you got to understand that you might get hurt. You got to go into it understanding that. Now, I get that, that you protect your heart, but you don't protect your heart when you're with your spouse. You have to be open. So you have to be naked and not ashamed. Because that is the point where you are in, you can truly be at oneness and you can grow. Here's the thing I said earlier while I was at the gym and I was talking to somebody and I gave them a free piece. Here's the key. God can use you in your state of vulnerability. See, that whole pride thing, God doesn't like the prideful. No, but he loves to use somebody who is vulnerable. And you look through scripture, you see that, Moses he stuttered, he was stammering in his speech. Vulnerability, because he felt as though that he was not worthy of the call. God will take your situation from, the state of vulnerability, and he can turn that around and use that. You look at the scriptures, look at David. David was not the first chosen. David was the last of the sons that was chosen.
Mm-hmm.
Again, vulnerability, because God wasn't looking for the one who was tall in stature and 6'5" and tall, dark, and handsome. No, he's not looking for that. But look, I digress from that for a second. Let's look at some of the antonyms when we think about that. I gave you the synonyms earlier. We talked about, for the synonyms, we said accessible, defenseless. We talked about weak, sitting duck. Now, antonyms say this, though. They're closed, they're guarded, they're protected, they're safe, and they're secure. Guarded? Closed? Those are the antonyms. Now, so those are just the opposite of it. So, now here, I mentioned to you when we talk about vulnerability that when you're in a relationship, husband and wife relationship, you have to be willing to be open to hearing the tough thing. Jack Nicklaus said, you can't handle the truth. And that's the thing. Sometimes it's not what's said, it's how it's said. But sometimes you can't even say what you want to say, even if it's the right way, because it's at the wrong time. So it's all about time. And what I have learned, though, Nate, is that there ain't always a best time or a better time, for some things. Some things are just going to have to, you're going to have to work through and press through, and you're going to need God more than ever to get you through it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when tensions are already high, you look at the state, okay, we can even talk politics and put this into it. You know, I mean, people are saying things now, and then you've got, you know, one candidate here who's saying they didn't do this, they didn't do that, another candidate here who's being attacked for different things. There's a level of susceptibility there in vulnerability. So now let's bring that back into the fold of relationships because, you know, we got a whole bunch of mess going on in our country. We all know that. That's in itself. But put that in perspective again within relationships. You know, don't cut off your face and spite your nose, or
don't cut off your nose and spite your face.
Don't
cut off your nose and spite your face.
That's right. And so
yeah.
You want to make sure when people get close to you, you know, that's your husband, that's your wife, they're getting close to you, don't push them away. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to walk together in oneness and unity as you learn to dwell with things. And so here's the key. As Brené Brown talked about this, she mentioned this thing called shame. Now, Shame has a cousin, and the cousin's name is guilt. We all heard about guilt and shame. They usually travel together in pairs. But now one of them says, I'm not worthy. The shame piece says, no matter what you do, it's not good enough. I'm not worthy. So that's usually the one that you're saying to yourself here in your state of vulnerability. Is this enough? Am I enough? That may be a man asking himself the question, you know, whatever that it may be. It may not just be in the bedroom he's asking, am I enough? Is it ever good enough? That could be the question of shame, because that's a self-fulfilling thing and a self thing where Nate mentioned earlier, maybe your inadequacies or your incompetence as well in an area have made you to feel that I'm inadequate. I'm not worthy. That's shame. Then you got guilt on the other side. It's, you know, there's something that you've done that you feel a certain way about it. So now I'm feeling a remorse, perhaps, feeling guilty about a situation. So those come into play when you're dealing with vulnerability. And so what you have to do is be, as Nate spot on when he said earlier, just really recognize that who am I and understand what's speaking and what's going on in my life. Is this coming from a place of shame? Or am I speaking as a, you know, coming from a place of guilt where I feel guilty about something I said or did and I shouldn't have done that? You know, or is it really guilt? There's a difference about remorseful, you know. So when you go to God, you want to be sincere in your apology. And we were talking about this the other day. Pastor Jenkins had mentioned this. What is it, the remorseful? There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Godly sorrow. That's different than getting caught and saying, oh, I'm sorry. That's different. Godly sorrow is totally different than somebody out there, you know, getting caught, he or she. Let me just preface it by saying he or she. Because, Nate, you got some people that always want to put the title on the man. And I can say right now we got a number of issues in relationships, and they ain't just all started by men. You know, so anyway, I'm going to give an amen on that one. But nonetheless, that's the whole piece. But Nate, the Bible talks about this, though. And it says to me, and this is in 2 Corinthians 9, and it says to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Keep me strong.
I am strong. But to the natural, when you look at it from the natural eye, and so this is the difference. Well, my challenge to you all tonight, for those who are listening, I'm asking you to change your lens. I'm asking you to look at it from a different perspective, not looking at it from a vulnerability perspective, but looking at it as, where is God working in me and working through me in this particular area? Because, see, God is doing something where he'll take that. Look, ain't nobody you look at Bishop Jakes. You know, he was a preacher down in West Virginia, and he'd tell you the story. You know, it wasn't – who wants to get up in front of that many people, you know, and talk? So it takes a level of courage. When you're dealing with vulnerability, on the opposite side of that, it's going to take some courage. Courage is doing the things that you don't really want to do, per se, but you got to do it. Now, a running back, Nate, the football is about to start. So a running back you got to be out your mind to play the game, to put yourself and make yourself that susceptible. You know, look at Ray Rice, for example, okay? I'm just going to use Ray, you know, just because he comes to mind. Ray is probably, what, 5'9", 5'8", 5'9", at best? You know, he ain't a big boy. He's, you know, he He's probably about 220 pounds, though, but he ain't no huge dude compared to the dudes that are on that line that are like 250 plus. So every time Nate that he hits the hole, he makes himself vulnerable to getting
mm-hmm.
hit. He's susceptible to getting hit, you
mm-hmm.
know, every time. But he runs through the hole with intentionality. So you got to hit that hole being intentional. If you're going to get into this relationship or you want to be in a relationship, you got to be intentional about the work you put in right now. See, you don't get to the big leagues, Nate. You know what I'm saying? You don't get to the big leagues just one day overnight and you're just there. It doesn't happen. There's a level of process. There's a provision. There's a promise. All those things are kind of put into play before you actually see things come to manifestation. And so, ladies, fellas, if you are out there right now and you're just kind of waiting for God to reveal to you the right time, the right season, the right person, then just continue to put your work in now, and working on you now is understanding who you are and whose you are. And that's being true to yourself, not just Facebook fictitious true. That ain't true.
Yes.
People post things all the time on Facebook, Nate. I'd be like, really? Really, though? Or Twitter or Instagram or whatever, you know, the food that you make. To each his own. I'm not going to knock you. But I'm saying, like, what do you really want people to see? What are you really trying
Absolutely.
To say? You know, what are you really showing people? I see women on there sometimes half naked. Like, really? Is that your best side that you have to offer?
Mm-hmm.
So that's your courage right there. You have no problem showing your body because somebody said you look good. Really?
That's
a person who's weak.
Oh, you're hitting it in several different lanes. You said several things so far that I've been sitting over here like, man. So going back, you mentioned the football thing. And there's a mentality that goes with that I just wanted to kind of bring the listeners' attention to is that every football player, and especially if you're a running back, every time they take the ball, they have to have a mentality that they're going the distance. Every time they touch the ball, they know that there's a chance that they may get hit. They know that there's a chance that they may not make it to the end zone. But with every snap, their mentality, and it should be the same in relationship, is I'm going the distance. I'm not taking side steps with the mindset that, wait, I'm in it, but I'm not in it. They're fully committed to running right through the gap and trying to make the biggest play that they can possibly make. But you also listed the antonyms. And I found it interesting when I reflected on them against the synonyms that it tends to lean to wartime stuff, as though you're in battle, I'm defenseless, things like that. Well, the reality of it is those synonyms directly can be seen in our relationships. And the reason I say that is because when we look at relationships, one of the problems that I've noticed is that we tend to treat each other like we're at war with one another.
Mm-hmm.
I say that again. We go into conversations not with the mindset that there's an issue here, but the goal is that we walk together through the issue and come out on the other end. The good thing about going through a storm is that you are going through, and it eventually has an end date. It has an end to the storm. There is no storm that covers the entire planet at once. If you drive long enough, you will make it through as long as you're both in the car. And when I look at those lists, we tend to internalize them and walk them right into the relationship. And so when we're dealing with the issues that we know we're going to face, no different than a running back going through the line, knows there may be some contact, we look at each other and we say, instead of me saying, you know, this is one of my areas I'm struggling in, can you help me? We begin to make excuses and point fingers at one another, which destroys the relationships and any chance of feeling safe in our vulnerability. You see, it says defenseless, but in a relationship, I shouldn't have to defend myself against the person that's in the battle on my side. On my side. You know, I've served in the military, and one of the things that I can tell you is whenever you go into a battle, and this is the same thing in the spiritual and in a relationship, the person beside you should not be your enemy. The few times we see it, we call them traitors and things like that. If you quoted Shakespeare earlier, et tu, Brute, you got the scenario where your enemy shouldn't be standing next to you. You are in covenant and you're in a relationship with someone that is your ally, your greatest asset, your greatest assist. And when you're in trouble, they're there with you. And like you said earlier, speaking into your spirit, telling you it's okay. You know, there's a situation, but it's okay. Yes, you may feel inadequate today, but you're not, because God says you're not. That person that can that's standing there in those times, you should be able to walk through the storm knowing that they aren't your enemy. So when we look at these definitions, we can't take them into our relationships and believe that if I'm vulnerable, I'm defenseless in my home. Because one, you're covered by Christ, and two, the person beside you, especially if you're a male, you should be covering your spouse, and she should be covering you. And sometimes that doesn't mean, you know, even in my home, my wife may not come to me with the exact word, but she might just come and sit next to me. I have the trust with her that she may be in another room praying for me, even when in that moment I don't necessarily know what to say. You know, like you said, there are some situations where there is no great time, mostly because we don't often like to hear where we could use some assistance, or like to hear where today we're not quite living up to what we should be. So when someone comes to call us on it, we don't like it because just like this word vulnerability, we don't like that other word that ends in ability that's accountability. But when you're in these battles that are in relationships, that person that's beside you is not only your cheerleader when things are well, they're your accountability too. So when they see those areas and they call them, you can be vulnerable with them and say, you know what, you're right. But I've never been good at that. That's vulnerable too. And for them, in that moment, you have a great opportunity to develop that relationship because they can say, I know I've seen it. Let me help you. Because one of the things that I've seen is that when God is in the relationship, usually one partner has some strengths and weaknesses and the other does too. But when you overlay them, you tend to find out that they kind of fill in the gaps. And where those gaps aren't filled, that's what God is for. That's where Christ is already in the mix. He already knows that you had the holes and the gaps. And in the relationship, usually it's funny because if you're with someone long enough, you're going to spot them anyway. The problem comes in is that we're fighting that sensation that we are defenseless, which is where we should be actually trying to get. I should be pursuing a situation and a standard with my wife where she knows me. And she knows me because I'm not hiding something from her. She can look at me on a bad day and say, it's a bad day, but baby, it's okay. Or if it's her, when she walks in, I should know her well enough to know today she needs some help. Today might not be the day. You know, my wife cooks better than I do. So today I might come in the house and see her and say, you know what, babe, I got this because you look tired. You look like you've been struggling and working with the kids all day. It looks like this, or it looks like today you might be overwhelmed. Maybe it's been a long week without her saying it, because over time I've been taking the time to get back to that passage, get to a place where I can actually dwell with understanding, and vice versa. To a point where when she sees me trying to overdo it to impress her, or I'm trying to overdo it because I feel like I have to, well, she can walk in and say, you don't have to do that today. Today, just come have a seat. Today, let's just talk. You know, people talk about pillow talk in relationships, but if you're married, I would encourage you to take the opportunity when you're about to go to sleep. Don't just run from watching the game and go get in the bed and go right to sleep. No, go sit next to your wife. Set up some time, a half an hour, an hour, where even if you talk about nothing, you talk, because in that conversation, you get to hear one another's heart. And in building those things into your relationship, in your marriage, particularly for this pillow talk, in your marriage, if you're having those conversations, there's no way that you could have them successfully and not grow closer to the person sitting next to you. If you're dating someone and you're going on all these dates, but you don't know the person that you're talking to any better, if I put a situation in front of you and you can't tell me based on the character of the person who they are and what they'll do, I have to ask you, are they being vulnerable enough for you to truly see them? And are you trying enough to understand them? Because it's very difficult to have that level of communication and, like I said, back to vulnerability, and not get to a place where you know what the needs are amongst one another. And then you take those needs, and where you can assist, you assist. But then there's also levels where, you know, we start off is how vulnerable is too vulnerable. Well, when Christ is in the mix, there is no place. Because when you can't go to the person besides you, you can always go to Christ. So, you know, when we ran those antonyms and when we ran those analogies, they were spot on. I don't know a person that goes into an event thinking I'm going to lose. I feel a hardness or a burden when I see couples that are actively I hate to say it this way, but at times, because they're afraid to be vulnerable and afraid to communicate and afraid of accountability in their own homes, it's unintentionally and yet actively pursuing their own self-defeat. You can't win when you're putting potholes in the middle of the field that are bigger than you can cross. Go ahead.
No, I want to inject in here. I think a lot when I'm thinking about vulnerability, I think because we spend so much of our time also, we have to touch on this when you're finished with your point. I think we spend a lot of time on our jobs in corporate America or wherever you may work. And oftentimes there's a certain level of vulnerability that you can't show there. So you put on, whether you're male or woman, if you're a female in a position where you are the boss, you can't show a certain level of vulnerability, especially as an African-American female in particular, because that is seen in the sense of weakness or an emotional issue that could be there as well. But anyway, finish your point, and we'll come back to that.
Oh, no, we can go there. I think you're right. When I hear that, I see it often in my job and even other places. But it goes back to where we started, where we said we were talking from a male perspective, but I think it's true also for females. We try so hard to be successful in certain environments, and it works in those environments. You know, you're not so vulnerable in those environments. And for whatever reason, because it's cult in our society, in our culture, we reward that. We function that way. The issue is it doesn't often work at home. Because the person you're dealing with doesn't work for you. You two are working together. So the things that may win over the day in your office, if you're not careful, you could bring them home. And you've taken on this character, almost an image. It's your work image. It's the, you know, like Superman would go to work in his regular clothes, and then he would go be Superman. We do the same thing, you know, down the road you were on, in that we go into the office, and the things that lead to success there, we kind of incorporate them into who we are. We take them home, forgetting that the person at home needs the whole us. And what we've been showing at work is not the whole us. It's not the person who does still. You know, someone says something offensive at work, you try to keep on the face. You pretend as though it didn't affect you because you're in a professional environment and you're in a meeting and it bothers you, but you don't know how to address it in that setting without potentially adversely affecting your situation. So you go home, and the problem that is even on top of that is when it happens that way at work, you take the burden of the pain that you got at work home, and then you still don't share that you have these issues that you're dealing with, and the people at home are left with what's left of you, but not the entirety of who you really are and what you really feel. But imagine for those who are listening, if you were able to go home, and I'm not saying unload on the house. I think sometimes we do that. We go home and we just drop every bomb that we got throughout the day. That's not what I mean. But when your husband or your wife says, "How are you?" You say, "I'm well, but, you know, today was a trying day." And if they ask, you know, what's going on, allow them to be there for you. Don't dump on them, or in other ways, don't bleed on them to the point that you've now taken the baggage from work home. But are you honest enough to let them see that you aren't perfect and that you do face some of the trials and some of the same struggles that they may have themselves faced? And what you may find is, you know, we're talking about relationships between a husband and a wife and those that are dating, but even in your relationships, notwithstanding in those scenarios, peer-to-peer relationships, sometimes you being vulnerable to those in your inner circle, in that intimate place, you may find that they've been trying to live up to the standard that they think you're living up to, and everyone's trying to put on this facade, and you might realize that no one is being as open with who they really are for the same fear. So that would be like you and I, Chris, talking, and I'm afraid that you'll look at me and say, "Ooh, you're not who I thought you were." So because of that, I'm always putting on this mask. But at the same time, you have the same fear of me. How can we ever walk together? Because already we're unequal. We don't even know where we stand alone, and we're trying to walk together. So when we're talking to the husband and wife setting or in the relationship setting, we're told, you know, the passage, how can two walk together unless they be equally yoked? How can you know if you're constantly hiding who you are? So I'm listening and I'm processing that, and I think it's right. I'm not sure if there are any odd thoughts out there coming from those who are listening in or you know, any questions that they're having with regards to this, but I think I see it more often than not. And, you know, the funny thing about it is having small children, it's apparent that it's something that we teach, not that we're born in. Because if you watch kids, they say everything. They tell you what they're feeling. They love pretty much almost everybody. When you put kids in a playground, yeah, they'll have some things that go wrong, but they also tend to go right back and make it right. They're not concerned about trying to keep up an image. We grow into that. We learn that. And then we precipitate it and teach it. But my kid doesn't care. You ever meet somebody and the kid comes up and nothing that they're wearing matches, and you look at the parent and the parent says they dress themselves? And It's amazing because the kid does not care that the shoes don't match, that the socks don't match. They said, we need to put on clothes, and I'm comfortable in these clothes, and these clothes are what I like. And I'm expressing who I am, and they're not concerned that when they walk out the door that someone else will say, well, I wouldn't have worn that. And yet we do this as adults, and we do it in relationships. We get in the mirror at times. I'll say we, as in male and female, not to point in any given direction, but we'll spend hours getting dressed and undressed, and you know, I need to fix my hairline just a little bit more. I need to change my hairstyle. I need to do this and that, and I gotta see it from every angle. Not so much because it's what we like to do, but because others might view it and have a perception that may lead to our perceived rejection. And then we do that when we get into our relationships. We spend that same amount of time putting up the walls and the barriers, and I agree with you that, you know, in some circumstances you need to shield your heart, but not in marriage. You shouldn't have to. Definitely not in Christ, because you don't have to. So when I see that, it's a funny thing that we develop this over time, and we never realize it soon enough to break that chain until someone kind of tells us, hey, you know, I like you the way you are. It's a funny thing. My wife, going back to her, when I met my wife, she will tell you today, if she were on this call, that as far as typecasting goes, she wasn't what I was looking for at that time. I had all these images and perceptions of what people had taught me I should be looking for. But my wife is everything I need. But I was chasing after things, and to get those things, I had to look and carry myself a certain way. And then I had to hide somehow I felt about things, because now I'm living in a bubble. But when I got with my wife, something was different. I said, now, I don't even understand, you know, why it feels different talking to you. And what it was, I could talk to her, and I never felt like, in being honest about who I was and where I was, and let me tell you, I wasn't where I am now then. And she looked at me and said, that's okay. But I believe in you, and I'm with you. You know, I'm with you. Let's take this walk. And we took that walk 14 years ago. And who I am today are rooted in two things, Christ and the fact that I had a woman that was vulnerable enough. Because remember, she was vulnerable enough to come and walk beside me, not knowing what I would do. And she allowed me to be vulnerable enough with her to share the insecurities, to not have to be what others may have said I had to be. And by that, I was able to be honest with myself, to drop the walls that literally it's like building a wall around yourself that now you wish you could get free of. So now you know, you're engaged in relationships that you really don't want because you hate it. You're fighting every day because you're fighting to contain what you feel versus what you've allowed to become your situation. And the other person is the worst thing about that is the other person isn't even aware. They believe that they're with you and you are who you said you were. And then when you can't live up to it, you get frustrated with them because they don't like it. So when we're looking at this thing, how vulnerable is too vulnerable, you have to essentially go back to your analogy of the running back. For those who follow football, especially with it coming, you have to have the mentality that, yes, I may take a hit. Yes, it may take 10 tries. I may not get off the backfield this time, but if I don't hit the hole running full speed, I'll never get to my goal. And in relationships, that's a long, God-centered relationship where I can trust the person that I'm with. They trust me. I can be all of who I am. They can learn who I am, love who I am, flaws and all, and I can do the same for them for the long haul. If my goal is only to take two steps, and that's how I kind of approach life, then the problem is going to be I don't have a long-term plan. And that's what entering a relationship in, too. If you go into a relationship and you determine that you won't be vulnerable or can't be vulnerable and therefore are choosing actively not to be vulnerable, you may as well be on the bench of the relationship. You may as well, in a dancing competition, remove yourself and allow someone else to take on the, on your role. Because essentially, you're opening a door for someone to cut in. And with that, I'm kind of talking even into marriages. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, that's a real key area here. We see a lot of times where we've seen a number of scenarios that come up. But it's not because – let me say this. So a lot of times we've seen where there's infidelity within relationships come about. Some of that is because of that shame that we brought on earlier, and some of that's because of that guilt. That shame says, I'm not worthy. And then they get validation that they're not hearing from their significant other because they're not telling themselves that. And so then, you know, whether it's the man or the woman who decides to have the affair or whatever, he steps out. That's brought upon because of how they internalize what they're experiencing. So if I'm struggling at work and then I'm coming home and struggling and everything ain't good, you know, it ain't jumping off in the bedroom, the boardroom's coming to the bedroom and it just, man, it ain't popping. Well, you when you look in the mirror as a man or as the woman, you've got to ask yourself a question: is what did I bring to this? So, you know, there's a Nate mentioned accountability earlier. That's one of those things that we really got to be honest and open. I mean, it's easy to go out there and you know, 7-Eleven is open all the time, 24 hours a day. So it's easy to get a lay. But it's more committed and staying truthful to thine own self and in a relationship to work within the relationship of your challenges and your issues and not take your problems and put them on somebody else's front door. You know, because at the end of the day, you know, we always think the grass is greener on the other side. And then we realize it's greener because it took a lot more water to get that grass that way too. You know, and so we have to learn how to be willing to be vulnerable and knowing that at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, God can take delight in your vulnerability because he can see if you're willing to follow him, then he can take you from where you are to a different state of in a different place where you're no longer worried about shame and guilt and dealing with depression or blame. Because we didn't talk about blame tonight, but that's another thing of vulnerability. We're always pointing the finger. Well, he said or he did. You know, and again, you got to ask yourself the question when you look at the man in the mirror or the little boy in the mirror. As I say, I used to say that a lot. You know, the woman has to deal with the little girl, and that little girl can no longer control the adult woman. So let me put that in perspective. Your childhood issues should no longer be controlling your adult problems. Okay, so those are things that are systemic where it's always one of those things that we have to really be truthful. And those are called subliminal behaviors, doing things that we don't realize that we're doing, and lo and behold, those are stemming from, you know, different root issues. So let's just stay focused on where we are and not go into that. But the point of it, as we prepare to bring this in for a closing, that there's no issue that's too big for God. And no matter where you are, you can't hide from him. He sits high, looks low, you know, he covers it all. And so he'll accept you just for where you are, to take you to where he wants you to be. And even in the midst of right now, through your trial, your triumph of where you are, it's never too late to open up your arms, and he'll outreach and stretch his arms as well to meet you where you are. So I just say that to say hopefully tonight you've heard something as we try to encourage you about this whole thing on the subject matter of vulnerability, that it is an important topic that in your relationship, the question was, as we posed it earlier in the topic, how vulnerable is too vulnerable? The answer, it's never vulnerable enough. God wants to take you to the point where he breaks you down from your pride and your ego to take you to a place to where he can use you, because if God starts to can use you, he'll use you for his glory to tell his story. And so your test becomes your testimonial. Your trial becomes your triumph and all that. So I'm going to digress. Nate, I'm going to throw it over to you for any closing comments. Take us home, and then we're going to shut it down.
For sure. Hey, for everybody who's listening, understand this. What Chris said is just real pivotal here. Yes, we look to each other, and yes, we're vulnerable to each other, but at the end of the day, who we're really vulnerable to, if we want a successful godly marriage or a successful godly relationship that leads to marriage, is that we have to successfully be vulnerable enough to be honest with where we are and put our faith in Christ. If we're not in a position to do that, how can we love someone else? How can we be honest with someone else? The reality of it is to be honest with who you are means to understand why you're here. And understanding that is understanding the Creator. It's like trying to function a piece of equipment without understanding what it was designed for. And if you understand who you are and what you are and what you're worth, then when those insecurities do rise, it says you're not valuable enough or you're not enough of this, you're more than enough. And if you're more than enough, you should be more than enough or more than comfortable enough to be who you are openly. And when you're dealing in your relationships with your spouse or your significant other leading to that marriage, back to what Chris said, between a man and a woman, when you're a man and you're looking at your significant other who is either leading to marriage or that you're married to, you should be able to look over and say, I am exactly the way God created me to be. I'm a work in progress, and he who's begun a work in me will see it through to completion. But in that, there are some areas that I don't have it all, but I thank God for you. And if you're that open with it, ladies, the same thing. You can't be afraid to be what God has made you to be. Don't try to shift what God has created you to be to appease someone else. Earlier, Chris talked about, you know, the posts that we put up and the pictures and the images that we put out, and we never consider the message we're sending that is precipitating us having to then try to live out something that we don't even want to be. So I would encourage you that as you're going through your relationships and you're considering what to do next in some of these areas, consider yourself. Look in the mirror. Look in that mirror and say, okay, I am what I'm meant to be, or I am at this place on the journey to who I'm meant to become in Christ. And yes, I have my helpmate, my spouse, my husband, my wife. And as we're going through, I'm going to intentionally seek to make that connection stronger. And that might mean that I have to open myself up a little more. I can't expect that in the other side to connect with me, understand me, and be committed to me. I can desire it, but I can help that cause if I take the time to be vulnerable and connect with them, accept who they are, help them get where they need to go, and also trust that they have me. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Chris, but I encourage you, each of you, any listeners here, that the key to a successful marriage is God. It's Christ. And if you understand that God is love, then you understand what love is. And with that, you would understand that it does bear all things, and it hopes all things. It's not fearing. And vulnerability, the only internal reason that we would have to run from being vulnerable is fear, and that is not rooted in love. So thank you for your time. I enjoy talking with you tonight.
Nate, this has been good, man, and you're always welcome to come back. I'm going to leave with the closing comments. It's really just this, just to everything that we said. Hopefully that I've truly prayed that something that was said tonight that you heard or a post that was shared. There was a lot of posting, and thank you, ladies, tonight that posted in the Real Talk group. And if you're not a member, you can do so by going to the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show on Facebook and join the group page for future reference. But I would just say that a closed hand can never receive an open blessing. Just remember, the more you close your hand, the harder it is to fit something in it that God wants to get to you. So open up your hand, open up your heart, open up your head, and allow God to do the work. And don't try to don't try to be the God of your spouse. Let God do the fixing. So he is the beginning and the end, and it begins with him and it ends with him. You don't have to worry about that because you're not his Holy Ghost or her Holy Ghost, and all you have to do is sit back and just trust that God is working it out to perfection. But oftentimes, if God's working in them, that must mean he's close to you, because if you're connected as one, he's working on both of you. And just be open to receive it, not try to control it, because the blessing is going to flow whether you want it to or not. Just don't prohibit the blessing from flowing, because that'll delay you to your destiny. So listen, it's been a treat and a pleasure, and I want to thank you all for listening tonight, another episode of The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Next week, we'll be tuned in for another segment on the show. Stay tuned for more information to come on the topic for next week. But again, same bat time, same bat channel, next week, Monday at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10. So good night, God bless, and thank everybody for listening. Share with a friend, tell them about this repost that'll be posted in the group page as well as on my other social media pages, okay? That's a wrap for tonight. Nate,